En al is ons vanavond een bykie van een kleiner groepie, dan kyk ons nie daarteen vast nie, Here. Baie mense het vandag geskakel, gesê weens omstandighede, kan hulle nie vanavond hier wees nie. En ons besef dat ons werke en die omgeving waarin ons lewe stel hoë eise aan mense. Maar ons is hier omdat ons honger en dors na u woord en na u teenwoordigheid. Ek bid, Here, dat u ons broeder groot vrymoedigheid sal gee in hierdie aand en dat u vir hom sal gebruik ook hier in ons midde. Baie dankie vir die wonderlike werk wat u in Nederland in soveel duisende jong mense se harte en lewens doen. Soveel jong mense wat tot geloof in Jesus kom, saligmakende geloof. En ons besef, dit is net alleen u, wat 'n mens uit jou sonde toestand uit kan haal, jou kosbare siel kan red, jou die ewige lewe in 'n posisie in Christus gee. En ons wil u daarvoor dank. Ons is ook begeerig dat u dit hier in ons eie land sal doen, dat ons ook hier so 'n oplewing of 'n opwekking sal kan beleef. Dankie vir Stichting Hartkraai, wat ook Nederland bedien met die woord, en besonder die boodskap van heiligmaking, die boodskap van redding, en in besonder die boodskap van herlewing. Dankie vir broer Arjan, wat soveel jare aan die stuur daarvan staan. Elke leier, elke werker, ook so die bestuur van Hartkraai in Nederland. Ons bid, Here, dat u vir hulle baie ryklik sal seën. Maak dit nou stil in ons harte. Daal tot ons neer met u gees en seën vanaand spreker en hoorder baie ryklik in die naam van Jesus. Amen. In Nederlands spreek jy dit uit Job van Beek. In Afrikaans is dit Job van Beek. En broeder Job, ons is vanaand so verskriklik dankbaar dat jy by ons kan wees, dat die Here ook dit vir jou moontlik gemaak het om hier na Suid-Afrika toe te kon reis. Ek wil net so, dit is sy familie, sy vroukie en drie kinders, en ons bid ook vir hulle asjeblief. Jy kan so ietsie sê oor jou baan, die loopbaan wat hy volg, en hoe hy dan ook by Hartkraai betrokke is, en in besonder by die Bybelskool. Gaan jy ook fulltime na Amerongen? Goed, so aan die einde van, of in die middel van hierdie jaar, skuif die Bybelskool na hulle nuwe gebou in Amerongen, en dan gaan Job voltyds daar betrokke wees. En wat 'n voorreg dat dit ook so kan wees. Ek wil net iets met die gemeente deel. In 2012 het ek die voorreg gehad om by die openingsnaweek van die Bybelskool Philadelphia, dis 'n deeltydse Bybelskool, disipelskap kursus of 'n disipelskap opleiding wat hulle doen, is dat ek die voorreg gehad om by die openingskonferensie van hierdie Bybelskool Philadelphia te praat. En toe was sy vader 'n student by hierdie Bybelskool, en dit is nou die sirkeltjie daar, en sy naam is Kees van Beek, Kees van Beek in Afrikaans. Ek het ook 'n nader fotoekie van hom, en daar staan hy, hier staan broer Arjan, daar staan ek en dominee Johan, en wat 'n voorreg was dit om in hierdie tyd, en broer Kees het toe pas tot bekering gekom, wat 'n jaar het hy tot geloof gekom. 2008, Job sal vanaand iets van sy redding vir ons vertel en deel, en ek onthou, toe ek in die kanseltjie gaan staan en begin preek het, het hierdie man sy hart gebreek en die trane die hele boodskap deur oor sy wange gerol. Ek het gedink daar's iets fout. En na die tyd toe ek met hom gesels, toe sê hy, nee, daar's niks fout. Maar vandat hy die Here gevind het, elke keer as hy onder die geklank van die woord kom, dan breek die Here sy hart. En dit is net vir hom wonderlik om die woord te hoor. So ek het gedink, ek deel dit net met die gemeente. Ek verwelkom jou dan baie hartlik vanaand. Mag die Here vir jou seën. Broer Job het gesê, kom maar nader. Broer Job het gesê dat hy het 'n redelike sterk aksent, 'n Rotterdamse aksent, en hy is bang u gaan hom dalk nie lekker volg nie. Dus gaan hy vanaand ook 'n bietjie maar in Engels met ons praat sodat u hom goed kan volg. Hartlik welkom.
Good evening, dear brothers and sisters. My name is Job van Beek. I'm 38 years old and I'm married. You saw the picture with Janneke, my wife, and we've got 3 kids from the Lord, Tom, Vera and Jefta. And I will tell during my sermon something about how the Lord called me and how I get involved in the work of Heartcry. And you've already heard. I'm not sure if you were everybody here this all these sermons during last week, but you've seen Arjan and Martin, and I guess Leander too, and we really connected to each other, have a fire in our heart to serve you and to help you to live together with the Lord. And it's very special, and I'm excited to be here because I heard a lot about South Africa, and I read a lot about South Africa. I've got some family lived in Stellenbosch, but I've never been there, and now here I'm here by the grace of God, and I also can share the word of God of you, and that's really a miracle, and something which touches me deeply this week. When we share the gospel on the airport or on the street or in the restaurant, we almost for every conversation we smell something about. There was a sense of God. And we say in Dutch, it's not always gold that blinks. Het is niet altijd goud dat blinkt. But it's very special that when you speaking to people, there's a kind of connection and they know something about God. And if I compare it to the Netherlands, that's really a different situation. More and more after Second World War, we are facing a lot of secularism. And lots of people don't want the gospel. And when you try to share, they don't borrow me, get away. So I like it to sense it, and I think it's really something you must be. We say in Dutch koester. It's something from God. God says, "My people will perish when there is no knowledge of God." And there's still some knowledge of God. There's still some ground God can work, do a good work. And they used to say the Netherlands are the Israel of the West, the Israel of Europe. But now we unfortunately have to say it's the Babel of the West, the Babel of Europe. But we're not discouraged. Brother Andre told you what work is God doing, especially on the youth. We don't deserve it. If I was God, I say to the Netherlands, I blessed you times over times, and I will go away. But that's not in the heart of God. He is seeking and longing for people who were prepared for his coming also in the Netherlands. And I'm one of the young guys who being in the revival, and God saved me. And he did that on my 30th year. And I came from a background of hyper-Calvinism. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but that means that you must know that you are predestined. So the predestination is really a big mountain. You first must know being predestined before you can come to the Lord. But how you know you are predestined? So I'm wrestling with that for years, and I have a longing to come to the Lord. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I went to hell, but if I don't get saved, but how? And it was that high level that they say you must be repent, but how? But God showed me the deep love of Jesus Christ for sinners, for me, and then I came to the Lord as I was, just as I was, I may come to the Lord. And there's a beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, who says that he that didn't know any sin was made to sin. God made his son to sin so that we, so that I could be justified by God in Christ Jesus. And that's what he's doing for me, and that's what he's doing for you all. Also for young, I see one younger boy, that's also for you. It's his son got all sin of all world, all your sin. He was buried under the sin, and therefore also the wrath of God to set us free, to give us the amazing grace. And I really hope that you all can testify this evening that you are saved by the blood of Christ Jesus. I don't believe you must put the predestination before coming to Christ, but now I see there is a predestination. Otherwise, I've never come to the Lord. He started the work in me, and he will finish it. Amen. And this morning, I want to share a few words with you about revival, herleving. And sometimes I try a picky Afrikaans, but when I get enthusiastic, I talk too fast, and then you can't follow me, so I choose to use English. And I use the story of King Hizkiah to talk about revival, and I will share four aspects of that. But before we open the Word of God, I've got one question, and it's really on my heart when I was driving to this congregation. Do you have an open heart? Is your heart open that God can speak to you? It's important. And there is a sentence in a Christian song which says, maybe you know, have your way, O God. Ga uw gang, Heere. And I hope really that you say this. Ga uw gang, Heere. Have your way, O God, this evening in my heart. We will read first apart from 2 Kings. 2 Kings 18. Verse 1 till 6. And my beloved brother Johan Botha, I think you know him, he gave me his own South African Bible because I want to buy one here. It's very expensive in the Netherlands, and here it's cheap. But I wanted to have a Bible, and he gave me his Bible. So I tried to read for you in South Africa, and maybe I make some mistake, but I hope it won't bore you. 2 Kings chapter 18, the first 6 verses. En in die derde jaar van Hosea, die zoon van Ela, die koning van Israël, het Hizkia, die zoon van Achas, die koning van Juda, koning geworden. 25 jaar was hij oud toen hij koning geworden had. En 29 jaar had hij in Jeruzalem geregeerd. En die naam van zijn moeder was Abi, een dochter van Zacharia. En hij had gedoen wat recht was in die ogen van die Heere, net zo zijn vader David gedoen had. Hij had die hoogtes afgeskaf, die klippilaren verbreek en die heilige boomstammen omgekap en die koperslang, wat Mozes gemaakt had, stukkend gestamp. Opdat die kinders van de Heere tot op die dag daarvoor offerrook laat opgaan het. En hij had die Nehustan genoemd. Hij had het op die Heere, die God van Israël, vertrouw, zodat onder al die konings van Juda Nahom en die wat voor hem geweest had, niemand zoals hij was niet. Ja, hij had het die Heere aangang zonder om van hem af te wijken, en zijn gebooien onderhoud, wat die Heere Mozes beveel het. And then we go to 2 Chronicles 29, the first 10 verses. It's the same story, but this chapter will put more details, more information in, so you get a picture. 2 Chronicles 29, the first 10 verses. Hizkia het 25 jaar oud koning geworden en 29 jaar in Jeruzalem geregeerd. En die naam van zijn moeder was Abia, die dochter van Zacharia. En hij had gedoen wat recht was in die ogen van die Heere, net zo zijn vader David gedoen had. Hij had in die eerste jaar van zijn regering, in die eerste maand, die deuren van die huis van die Heere opgemaakt en dit herstel. En die priesters en die levieten laat inkom en hullen verzamel op die oostplein. En verhullige zee, luister naar mij, levieten. Heilig jullie nou en heilig die huis van die Heere, die God van jullie vaders. En breng die onreinheid uit die heiligdom uit. Want ons vaders het ontrouw gehandel en gedoen wat verkeerd was in die ogen van die Heere onze God. En hullen het hom verlaat en hullen aangezicht van die tabernakel van die Heere afgewend en dit die rug toegekeerd. Ook het hullen die deuren van die voorportaal toegesluit en die lampen doodgeblaas en geen reukwerk aan die brand gesteek en geen brandoffer in die heiligdom aan die God van Israël gebring niet. Daarom het de toorn van die Heere over Juda en Jeruzalem gekomen en hij het hullen een schrikbeeld, een voorwerp van verbazing en van bespotting gemaakt. Zo jullie met jullie eigen ogen zien. En kijk, hierom het ons vaders die zwaard geval en ons zoons en dochters en onze vrouw in gevangenschap. Nou is dit in mijn hart om in verbond te sluiten met die Heere, die God van Israël, dat zij toorngloed van ons afgewend kan worden. King Hiskia is the 12th king of Judah. The first king was King David of Saul, and then David, Solomon, and then his son. And then we get King Ahaz, the father of Hiskia. He died, and then Hiskia became king, and he reigned for 29 years and started when he was 25. A king of 25 years, that's a very young age. A very responsible task was on the shoulders of Hiskia. And at that moment that Hiskia became king, at that moment, Israel was being captive by Assyria and was moved away. It was very dark in these days in Israel and also in Judah and Manasseh. And Hiskia has a very beautiful name because it means the Lord has strengthened him or strengthened by the Lord. So something in the name reflects something of Jehovah, of the Lord. And we see in this chapter, and we don't have the time to read also the previous chapter, but we see Hiskia had a very bad example of being a king. If he went through the footsteps of his father, if he had done the same as King Ahaz did, it would be a great mess. It was already a mess. But we see here that he chose to go the way of the Lord. 25 years, such a long, young age, and he chose not to take the footsteps of his father, Ahaz, but he chose to go the way of the Lord. And he breaks with the sinful pattern, sinful habits of his father, of his family. And he says, Lord, I want to follow you. And that's the first point of getting a revival, a personal revival, a revival in this church, in your family, in your street, is that we have to cut through, to break down sinful patterns which we inherited, which we are familiar with our forefathers. And maybe you recognize this. Your father and your mother were not an example of following the Lord. But there came a day and you get inside of that. And you decided to cut down, to stop with it, and to follow the Lord. And if that's the case tonight, I praise the Lord that you came to that insight and also take the decision to follow the Lord. But it's possible that the Lord show you this night that you did not do that, that you haven't done that. Because maybe you are feared to do it. Because family relationships sometimes are that strong that are like a prison. You can't get out. Otherwise, maybe you're getting rejected. Or people talk about you or gossip about you. But you know, deep in your heart, I'm doing concessions. And not following the ways of the Lord with my whole heart. Or maybe, and that's something I recognize myself, is that you say, Lord, this is my character. You know, sometimes I'm getting angry. You know, sometimes I gossip. Sometimes I steal. But yeah, my father and mother did it, so I can do anything about it. That you say, really, this is my character, and don't touch it. This is me, this is what I am, and I can do anything about it. But the Lord asked this evening, ask you, do some business with me. Listen to me. You have to follow me with all your heart, and I can change your character. I will tell something about my father. How old are you? Who out woke Ben? What age you are? God can change you. God can change you. God can make a new creation of you. And therefore, I urge you and I ask you, make this choice, because King Hizkiah is an example for us. God put that in scripture, not to say this is the level of godliness and holiness you can't reach, but I just tell it to you. He put it in scripture to show us I am the same God as Hizkiah, and I can do the same work this evening, this week, in your and my life. He decided to follow God. He swam against the stream, and it was very hard. On the highest level of the government, I'm sure he had a lot of enemies. He had a lot of enemies. But he didn't care. He didn't care about himself. He didn't care about what happens. He did one thing. I want to open the doors of the house of the Lord, and I want to serve the Lord with all my heart and with all my people. So if Hizkiah, who's 25 years old, living in these circumstances, can make this choice, then I'm very sure we can make this choice by the grace of the Lord. And I came to faith, I came to Christ in my 30th year. And I did develop lots of sinful patterns, sinful habits in my life, which I also inherited of my parents, my father and mother, which were not born again. We were in church, but it doesn't make you a believer, being in church. Till God showed me step by step, bit by bit, how my situation looks like, and was not that good, not that was very bad. And just one example I'm really wrestling with was anger. My father was a man who could be very angry. He was very dominant, and I always say I don't want to look like my father. But when there was a temptation or a stressful moment, especially when I get home, nobody see me, only my wife, my kids, then I exploded. And God showed me that something in your character which does not honor me, and I will change it. But you must open your heart, and you must say, Lord, I can change myself. You can change me. Do it, Lord. And now a brother said it this week, it's more harder and harder to get angry. Can you imagine? The Lord is making me meek. The Lord is making me friendly. Not because I'm a good guy. Not because I do a good work. Because that is the grace of God. That's the work on Calvary. What Jesus did. He can change your character. He can change everything. By his blood. And it takes a decision, I've already said. God is not a burglar. He does not break into you and say, this and this and this, I'm going to change. He's waiting, he's on the door, and he knocks, and he wants us to open it. And it's not easy to make that decision. I use this image of a fish which is swimming like a rocket downstreams in a river. And he swims and he swims. And it's easy to swim downwards. But the fish doesn't see that there's a huge waterfall. And when he collapses at the edge, he will be killed. He will be dead. And then the fish sees, that's not okay over there. There's a waterfall. I can choose. Do I turn or just go along and go about over the edge? And when he decided to stop, he must lower his speed, and he must turn, and he must learn to swim stream upwards. That's not an easy talk for a fish that always swims downstreams. He has no muscles. He has no. He's not strong. He is fat. He has bad habits. But If we choose to swim up to swim upwards, if we choose to break down sinful patterns we recognize, then the Lord is not our enemy. The Lord is our fellow. The Lord is our friend. He will help you and he will guide you and he will step by step learn you how to swim upwards. And here we see Hiskia, he decided on the first day, on the first month. We see the first day in a verse later on. I mean, it's in verse 17, we see that the Levites and priests, heilig, make them holy on the first day of the first month. So it was immediately when he became king, he started these activities. So in the Netherlands, we have a word which is called polderen. Polderen. That means that you have a problem and you start to talk about it and you keep on talking about it and you keep on talking about it and more people come to it and they talk about it and maybe you get a compromise, a often tasteless compromise, and which is not really a solution for the problem. And Hiskia doesn't go that way. He doesn't call all the advisors of his kingdom and what I have to do and shall we make some good things or no. Hiskia has one goal, to honor God. And he took that decision immediately. He doesn't make any compromises. Maybe you know Keith Green. He had a wonderful book and songs. And he was a guy who said, I don't make any compromises. So that's my first point. I hope really the Lord show you that if there are sinful patterns, you have to break with it. And if you do it, he will help you. Don't talk to the sin and don't postpone. Because postponing, uitstellen, is not something from God. Postponing is something from the devil. He wants you to postpone and to say, maybe tomorrow when I have a good sleep, and maybe when then and then and then and then, you know, you forget it. And the birds of heaven, they come and they take the seed. They take it out of your heart, it's said in scripture, out of your heart, out of your minds. He grabs it and he wants you to swim like a fish at the waterfall, going to the waterfall. So my first aspect, break down radical with sinful patterns from the past. Even een biekie water pakken. Is my English okay? You can follow me, understand me? Okay, great. But the question is, how is it possible that a 25 years old man, boy, like Hiskia, made this decision? How is it possible? And it's already on the beamer, on the slide. That needs personal faith. That needs a heart which is committed to the Lord. And we see in the first verse of 2 Chronicles 29 that his mother was Abia, and she was a daughter of Zechariah. And it is very good possible that this was the same Zechariah that gave King Uzziah the advice how we can seek and find and serve the Lord. But we are not completely sure about it. Maybe that are the good influences in the life of Hiskia, and that he also received his name by this influence. But we are not really sure. But we know one thing, that he was committed to the Lord. Now we say he gave his life to Jesus. He was saved by his faith. And there must be personal faith in your life, in the death of Christ Jesus. There must be, you must be born again to get a revival, because God does not start in the world with a revival. He starts in the hearts of his children, of his people, to purify them, to make them holy. And then he can work through his people to the world. So it's really a big thing, because you can do a lot of work in the church. You've been hundreds of times to the church. But if you don't have personal faith, you don't get a revival. And The Bible says when we come to faith, when we give our life to Jesus, when I talk with people from a hyper-Calvinistic background, they say, yeah, if you receive Jesus, then you steal him. Can you imagine? So if you say Jesus is offer himself, then and you receive it, they say, yeah, you steal it because God must give it to you. So you have really a path telling. Then I use always John 1 verse 12. I think the emergency number is also here, 112 or not. In the Netherlands, in Europe, if you have need a police or a fire or a hospital, then you call 112 and then they help you. So I say you have to call the 112 number, Johannes 1 verse 12. Everybody who accepted the Lord is a child of God. And then, yeah, I hope they will really see it, that they're not stealing something, but that they receive something from the Lord. And if we do that, if we say, Jesus, come in my heart, I need you, I have to be saved, then God will live in us, the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, it stated that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The living God is living in our heart. And that's not on the first case if you have a special feeling or that you have a special emotion, but that's what God says. When you accept Jesus in your life, the Holy Spirit will be there in your heart. God does not live anymore in buildings. In the old covenant, he does, in the temple, in the tabernacle. But in the new covenant, he doesn't live in buildings. If you have a very beautiful church with a marvelous entourage, but there is not one child of God, God does not live in that building. He wants to work in that building, in that people, but he lives in his people. And we read in this chapter that Hiskia, in the third verse of 29, we see that he opens the doors of the physical temple and he restores them. And that's an image of opening. Hiskia first opened the doors of his heart so that he can later on open the doors of the physical temple, physical house of God, by personal faith. And we see here that he didn't only open them, we also see that he herstel, that he restored them. They were damaged. And we see it in verse 24 of the previous chapter. Maybe you can read it with me. It said, 24, verse 24 of chapter 28, en Agas het die gereedschap van die huis van God bijeengebring en die gereedschap van die huis van God stukkend geslaan en die deuren van die huis van die Heere toegesluit en verhom altaren gemaakt op die hoek in Jeruzalem. He ruined the house of God. He ruined the temple. He was a rebel against the Lord and he didn't want to listen. If you read that chapter, how many times the Lord speak to Agas and he didn't want to listen. And he make it worse and worse. And he ruined the house of the Lord. And just imagine, there was always holy activity in the huge temple which Salomo built. Priests and Levites and people coming in and brought their animal to sacrifice it to the Lord. And now these doors are closed. There was a silence, a terrible silence on a place where there must be holy activity. And this is something which really struck me, I want to have a small time to go to the personal situation of Hiskia, that the closed doors of the house of the Lord, it was the same in the family of Hiskia. The house of the Lord were also closed in his family, because I am sure that we as fathers are a door to the Lord. We in a family must be an open door so that our wives and our kids can see something of the glory, something of the joy, something of the holiness of the Lord. When they are dealing with us in our family and in daily life, that they see in brokenness, but they see my Father reflect something of the heart of my Heavenly Father. That's the model, that's the order God gave, the structure in families. And Hizkiah, he saw a closed door. His father was a door to the darkness, to hell. And my question is this morning, in your families, fathers, men, what are you? Are you an open door to the Lord or a closed or damaging door to the darkness? A barricading door. Because, dear brothers, fatherhood is such a marvelous, great, enormous responsibility, but it's also a very hard task. It's not easy. Walt Disney and the world said before your marriage, oh, it's that great. And children, oh, it's that great. It is great. But we can do it on our own. We can only do it by the grace of God. And I know there is a lot of brokenness on this point, and I can tell you everything about it, or at least something, because the relationship with my father, Andre, show it, my father, was broken between my 15th and my 25 years. We were really beating each other up. We had no contact anymore, and I left the house in my 17th year, and I really hated him. I really hated my father. He was so dominant, and he was not able to give me love and to give me comfort. He was very bitter, especially when my youngest brother of 2 years old drowned almost, and he is still disabled now. And my father was so angry and so mad at the Lord. Lord, why do you give all this misery in my life? And I was the eldest son, and I didn't want to bow when they're getting older, so we get a lot of conflicts. But we say in Dutch, we say nochtans. You know this word? Nochtans. It's a marvelous word. Nochtans. He was the occasion of my repentance. My father, which I hated, which I've seen for months and years. He was the occasion of my repentance. Because at his 28, almost his 60s, he came to the Lord. He accepted Christ in his life, but he must clear up the shards of his life. He must clear up the mess of his life. And God gave him so much misery that it broke him. And then the love of God came, and he came to the cross, and a huge burden fell down. My father was searching from the Lord 60 years long. He was not somebody who wants to live in the world. He wants to follow God. But in the hyper-Calvinism, they say, seek and pray. Maybe the Lord will give you some grace. But then he saw, the Lord is waiting for me. I may come as I am. And the Lord accepted him. And then my father came to me. He came to me. And he said, Job, I want to ask you forgiveness. I want to ask you forgiveness for all the things I've done wrong. And that was something I really couldn't handle. Because how could somebody being 58 behave like that? Ask forgiveness. It was something which my father never did. Never. He was always has the last word. And I saw that God can change a man like him. He can change his character. And I already said that he did it with me. So I never say anymore that God cannot change a man or a woman. He is able to. I've seen it. The gospel is true. And when he said to me, I ask forgiveness, at that moment, he fell from his throne. But the seed of repentance was planted in my heart due to his vulnerability, due to his honestly. He was honest for the first time of his life. He was honest. And it's a little bit, it's humoristic, but we really beat each other up. But then he started to beat me up with the gospel. He started irritating me with all types of flyers and stuff to, Job, you have also came to Christ. There is an open door. And it took a few years. And God gave me the right people on my path to see at my 30th year, I may come as I am. But the humbling of my father really puts in the seed of repentance in my heart. So, fathers, man, this evening, there is a key when you realize there's gone a lot of things wrong in my life, even when your kids may be out of house. And that key is humbling ourselves. And that's for our natural, for our flesh, it is horrible for a man. A man wants to be proud, a man wants to be strong, that everything can, his wife's kids can look to him and he's at the top of the hill. But God says, humble yourself and I will give you grace. So this evening I ask you, humble yourself. Came down from your throne of fear, your throne of guilt, your throne of pride, so that God can keep his promises. There's one special promise in Luke 1, verse 17. He says, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. He will turn the hearts. Turn the hearts. It's the same word, repentance. When we turn our heart to our kids, something special will happen. Really. So, if you realize I have to make a new starting point, it's possible. But we have to humble ourselves. And then God will use it to restore not only the doors of the house of the Lord, but also our family. And that we can be again, even if you are 60, 17, 80, be a door for the Lord. Maybe for our grandchildren or for our family, that they live with us, that they see, that's something I want to follow. In Hebrews, he said, look to their levenswandel. Kijk naar hun levenswandel. Volg hun geloof na. Kijk naar hun levenswandel. En ik hoop mannen, I hope fathers, I hope men, that you have a desire, that people can look to you like that, your kids and your wife, and that they will say, I will follow the faith which I've seen in my father. Hiskia opened his heart, his doors for the Lord before he opens his heart, he opens the door of the temple. Even he was raised up in very sinful and godless circumstances. And that's my second point, revival. Only personal faith in the Lord will give us a revival. And I will move on to my third point, which is sanctification and purification. Hiskia opened the doors of the house and then restored them. But still the house was a ruin. It was ruined. It was a mess. And he calls the Levites and the priests and asks them, come to the Oostplein, East Square, and you must start on sanctifying, purifying the house of the Lord. But before you do that, you must sanctify yourself. We see it in verse 5, where the Bible says, en verhulligen zij, luister naar mij, Levieten. Heilig jullie nou en heilig die huis van de Heere. Heilig jullie nou. En in verse 15 we see that they must purify, reinigen, make clean the temple. So they, before they get do the work, they must first sanctify themselves. Otherwise they will touch the work of God, touch the house of the Lord with dirty hands. And in the old covenant, if you do that, you will die. We see it at King Uzziah. He wants to hold down the ark of the Lord, and he dies. God wants to do his work on his way, on his principles. And we can be Christian, but we can't do it without sanctification and purification, because that honors God. And if you are reborn, if you're born again and you're a Christian, deep in your heart, there will be a desire to be holy, Because God already made you holy in his son, Jesus Christ. And sanctification means that you are set apart. You are consecrated, dedicated to one thing. And that's very important, brothers and sisters. And maybe you realize that after you come to Christ, there are still things which are pulling to you. Maybe the world, or the pleasures, or the money, or the glittering of this world. And this worldly system which says to you, come and take more, and consume. And that you feel, I'm with one leg in the world, and with one leg I try to serve the Lord. But God says, we don't have to have a double heart, a heart which serves two kings. It's not possible. We have to serve the Lord or serve the world. The Bible says we are not from this world. We are in this world. So do your neighbor or your house, or your wife or your man, your kids, your street, see in your life you are really a Christian which is dedicated to the Lord. Are you a letter, said Paul, which is clearly stated? Are you a letter from the Lord? When they see you, they say, you are from God. You are not from this world. You are from God. And really, we don't realize it often. That's okay. Otherwise, we get proud. But if we follow the Lord in all the things of our lives, that's the best way to do evangelism. Not in the first place to talk. We must talk. But living a life with Christ. And when they do business with us, or working with us, or ask us advice, and we are with the Lord, they will smell it. I will give you the guarantee. The Lord will work through him because we have the Holy Spirit. And if there are no obstacles in us, the Lord will do his work. Sanctification, being set apart. Otherwise, God cannot use you as he wants. And the other thing, at the other end, we see then we need purification, reiniging. In Hebrews, it's taher, and it makes clean it up, mopping it up. And here we see in this chapter that all rubbish, all stuff which does not belong in the house of God must be taken out of the sanctuary, out of the temple. It needs really a very good cleaning up. We read it in verse 18 of Chronicles 29. We see, toen kom Hulla bij koning Hiskia in en zei, ons het die hele huis van die Heere gereinigd, die brandofferaltaar met al zijn gereedschap en die tafel voor die toomrode met al zijn gereedschap. They touched everything. Every door was opened in the house of the Lord and was cleaned up. So God sees a house which is purified, which is, he wants to live in it because it's clean. And that's what God longing this evening, to live in a house, to live in a body, in a soul which is clean. He says in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, I will read it in South Africa, terwijl ons dan hier die beloftes het, geliefdes, laat ons van alle bezoedeling van die vlees en die geest reinigen, en laat ons die heiligmaking in die vrees van God volbring. And my question this evening, is there a door, is there a room in your life which is still closed, which is not purified? Which door is still closed that you say to the Lord, Lord, I will do everything for you, but don't touch this thing. Don't open this door because it's for me, because I'm too scared, because I can't. And for me, and I doubt to mention this, but I really think it's the Lord asked it to me, from my 15th year, I was wrestling with pornography. And I thought it will go away when I'm getting older and When I get married, then it's not necessary anymore. But it was a lie. I was taken captives. And I didn't talk about it with anybody. And it was my secret. And I longed to be free, being free of that, but it didn't work. Till I saw I cannot conquer this sin by myself. I need help. I have to open this door to my brother, to my wife. I need help. And by the grace of God, I can say I'm free. That's not my work. That's God's work. But we have to open these doors for God so he can work through. And pornography is really a big problem, also in the church. When we see the last reports, 75 to 80% of men are wrestling with that. Also older men and also women. So if you know I'm wrestling with that, I hope really that you get honest and to talk to somebody, maybe to me after service, so that we can break through this sin. God wants to make you free. He did a 100% walk on Calvary. The Bible says we don't have to be slaves of sin. We can conquer sin, but we have to open the door of our heart. And if you close it, if you decided, no, Lord, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to open it. God will not open it. God is not a buckler. God is not an inbreker, we zeggen. He don't force you. But he's knocking on this door. And it's like Jericho. It was a huge city. And Israel went in through the Jordan with King Joshua, a judge. And it was easy for them to say, let Jericho there, we go further, and when we get stronger and stronger, then we go back and take Jericho. But God wants us to see that we first must deal with this Jerichos in our life, otherwise he can't work through. It's like you call it a circle, a roundabout. God does not do this. Here is our sin or our broken, keep it, and then I work through, and then I come back with it. No, he can't go through. He can't work in you further till you open this door. That's how God works. And if you're born again, you know it, if there is a door closed, because the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he will talk to you. Jesus conquered the grave to give his new life, not a little bit, but the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you know the Lord for a long time and you serve him and you love him and you've done great things for the Lord. You've been a long time here in this church and you serve maybe in the music or work for the kids. But you're tantalizing on what's happened on the past. Your ministry, your good works, your time you read the Bible, you are satisfied. And you could say to the Lord, Lord, then and then and then you use me. You know that, Lord, then you use me. But you don't have a fresh anointing. You don't have a fresh ministry. And that's why I read also 2 Kings 17, the first part. Because there we see that the Nehushtan, that was the stack, the copper stack and the snake must be destroyed. And maybe you know it, the Israelites go to the desert and God gave them judgment and sent snakes which are poisoned and they bite the Israelites and they die. And then God said, Moses, you must make the stake with the snake and put it high in the air. So when you get bitten, you can look to the snake and then you get healed. So it was the symbol of the victory. It was the symbol of the grace of the Lord. But what happens after all these years? The Israelites doesn't look to the giver of that healing, the giver of that grace, but they look to the Nehushtan, to the snake, and they're going to worship it. And it's possible in our life that like that, we are worshiping and what we're doing, we're proud of it, we are satisfied. And not the God who gives it. Who gives the grace. And if you see, that's the fact with me this night. Daniel also need a purification of the Lord, a new anointing of the Lord. Lord, give me that new anointing. Lord, I ask forgiveness. And Lord, I want to come to you. I will humble myself and give my whole life to you. So the Lord says that streaming of living waters will come out of you. That's what the Lord wants to give you this night. So that's my third aspect of sanctification and purification. And I go to my last point. I hope you're still with me. And we see it in 2 Chronicles 29 verse 10. Then we see that after all the misery, Hiskia said, "Now is dit in my heart om een verbond te sluiten met die Heere." Hiskia wants to make a new start. But there must something be done to that. Hiskia could say, "Lord, forgive us, forgive me." And then the Lord said, "Okay, Hiskia, I forgive, go on." And if we read the whole chapter, we see that there must be a sacrifice. There must be shedded blood to make a new covenant with the Lord. That's always the fact in the Old Covenant of Old Testament, where we see when there's a covenant of Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, there must be a sacrifice, there must be shedded blood. And if we want to make a covenant with the Lord, we also have to sacrifice something. Romans 12 verse 1 says that the sacrifice is our life. Not our activities, not the things we do in the church, not our good works. God wants them. But on the first hand, God wants a sacrifice. And he says in Romans 2 verse 1 that we are the sacrifice. So when we may want to make a covenant with the Lord, we must say, "Lord, here I am as a sacrifice. I give all my rights, all my self-determination. I give it to you. And here I am. Use me." And do we want to say this evening to the Lord? "Lord, here I am. I want to die on myself. Like Apostle John says, the seed only give fruit, a graankorrel. Only give fruit when it is put in the soil and die. And then there will be new life. Otherwise, we don't bear any fruit. It looks good from the outside. Maybe people say, 'Oh, you're such a great man of God or woman.' But if we say to God, 'God, I want to die on my own,' God can't use us. And I'm really struggling with this. I want to serve the Lord, but not everything. And I was really angry that the Lord sent me to the jungle of Papua New Guinea when I gave my life really to the Lord, or maybe send me to South Africa. But I see God gave me the vision that he's a good father and we are his children and he already bought us. We are not of our own. We can say, 'Ik ben mijn eigen eigendom. Ik ben van mijzelf.' De Heer zegt, 'Je bent van mij.' A preacher told us, 'God is not collecting our sins,' that we say, 'God, please forgive me our sin.' But at the moment we say that, he will do it. But he is not interested in our sin. He is interested in ourselves. We, our body, soul, mind, spirit. And God is a father. If we say to him, 'Lord, here I am,' he will use you. And following the Lord isn't very easy. There's a gospel who says, if you accept the Lord, you get rich, you have no problems, and if your problems is they're caused by unbelief. But that's not a true gospel. God says, you will enter my kingdom by a lot of struggles, by a lot of lijden. But I will be there. I will give you the peace of myself. I will give you the joy in the most difficult circumstances. I will be there. If we give our life to God, even are you a teenager, a younger boy, I'm really glad you're here. Because when I was 16 or 15, I didn't seek the Lord. You're here. And God can use you. Don't think I'm too young, I can do anything. Most preachers of revival were between 20 and 25 years old. Most of them, 20 to 25. So God talks to you this evening, even of your young kid, young teenager. Give your life to God because it's the best decision you could ever make. I never want to go back. I never want to go back. You know the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm no turning back. No turning back. And I'm not sure what happens in my life. I know here people and also Andre and you suffer a lot. But I'm really sure you say, I don't want to go back to my older life. I want to serve the Lord till I die. And I want that the Lord, when he meets me at the door of heaven, says to me, Gij getrouwe dienstknecht. You're a faithful servant of me. Ik heb je over weinig gezet. I give you less here on the earth. But now I will give you a lot. Ik zal je veel geven. Dat is het ontvangst. That is the welcome I hope for with all my heart. And also for you. We say in Dutch, je kan ook met je hakken over de sloot. That you're saved, but just a little bit. But I want to do the work God gives me to do on this earth. He said it in Ephesians 2 verse 10. I give you my salvation to do the good works which I already prepared. I've talked about 4 aspects of revival. Breaking down sinful patterns of the past of your fathers. Personal faith in Jesus Christ. Purification and sanctification. And a total surrender. Dear brothers and sisters, I really hope with all my heart that these aspects are in your life, or you're dealing with that, or you're longing to that. Then I'm really sure God will give this revival. God didn't save you to be like a fish which is not swimming up and not go downward, just to be still. But he saved you to give him grace, to give him honor, and to be fruitful. And the heart of God is revival. God wants revival because he wants to restore his kids. He wants to restore his church to show his love, his unconditionally love to the world. God wants to use his children. And I will finish with that. That his heart will go, is bind to the nations. And maybe you know the Moravian Brothership, the Graf von Zinzendorf in Germany, or the Herrnhuters. It was a place, a lot of refugees out of Europe flee to that place. Lutheran, Huguenota, Waldenser, all people who were persecuted by their faith. And they came to this place. And I can tell you the whole story, otherwise it will be 12 o'clock. But they made a very difficult process with each other because they have different cultures and etc. But one time, the Lord came in this congregation and touches the heart. And at that moment, they had one desire, and that was mission. To show the people in the world the love of Christ Jesus, and that they can be saved. And they sent out, in a couple of decades, 2,200 missionaries all over the world. And their credo, their yell was, the Lamb that has been slain is worthy to receive his reward. The Lamb that has been slain is worthy to receive his reward. And when father died and mother died in the country far abroad, the kid said, I want to be in the footsteps of my father and my mother. And even they sell themselves as slaves to come to the places where nobody could come. Because the Lamb that is worth his reward, the Lamb that has been slain. And I really hope that these 4 principles will help you to seek the Lord, to keep on going, to keep on praying, so that he will give this revival in your personal life, in your family, in your street, in your village, in the city, in Pretoria. Because God will keep his promises. When we seek him, he will hear. When we knock, he will open. When we bow for him, he will turn himself to us. Amen.
baie wonderlike en 'n baie rustige manier het ons vanaand die ou evangelie boodskap gehoor, ook op 'n baie praktiese manier, hoe dit uitwerk in 'n lewe. En ek wil u oproep vanaand, en ek roep myself daarmee saam op om selfondersoek te doen, die Heilige Gees te vra om in ons harte te skyn en te sien wat se sondige gewoontes of patrone is daar waarmee ons moet breek. Dat ons sal omdraai en stroom op vir die Here swem. Hoe affekteer my persoonlike geloofslewe, my kinders, my vennoot, my kollegas, waar ek elke dag beweeg. So belangrik wat ons hier vanaand geleer het. Die Here ons harte sal reinig, daai deure sal oopkry wat moet oopkom. Dit sal skoon was met sy bloed en dit sal vul met sy wonderlike Heilige Gees. Die enigste oplossing en uiteindelik die algehele oorgawe. Die Morawiese broeders van wie Job gepraat het, se slagspreek, hulle lewenslese, was ons lewe slegs om die lam te verhoog. Die enigste rede vir ons bestaan, en ek het myself daar in die bank langs Annetjie gevra, kan ek dit vanaand eerlik getuig? Lewe ek slegs alleen om die lam te verhoog? Mag die Here ons help. Ek wil so 'n oomblikie van stil gebed gee, waar ons net elkeen ons eie lewe voor die Here in oënskou neem. Ek was al